know anything about it. Christ, JJ, do you think we haven't had your type in here before? How many times, Peabody?
Couldn't count them.
Peabody cast her dark eyes to the ceiling, shook her head.
But they all think they're originals.
They're so damn simple. Here's how it went. You bragged to Ziegler about the hot dancer you had on the side. He blackmailed you. You finally had enough, even though you'd been paying him off with money you extorted from your wife. That's ridiculous! We found the other accounts, JJ. Offshore, shell corporations. You're an amateur. Ziegler kept a book. Your name's in it. The money you paid him is on record. Eve pushed up. You went to his apartment to tell him you were done, to show him who was boss. He worked in a gym, for God's sake. Who did he think he was? But he wouldn't let you off the hook. You lost your temper. You're good at it. You picked up the trophy and you struck him. Struck him again.
No panic attack that time, Peabody added.
Not when you'd finally solved the problem. It felt good. It felt like something you should have done a lot sooner. Without him in the way, you were free and clear. So you got creative. You're a creative guy. You dragged him onto the bed, got a knife out of his kitchen. You wrote a funny little message. You're good at that, too. And you pinned it on his chest with the knife. I didn't do any of that! His breathing shortened. Sweat slicked his face. That's crazy. I was never there. I never went there. I want to talk to my lawyer. I demand to talk to my lawyer. Peabody, get him some water. Take it down, JJ. Take it down before you end up in the infirmary again. Believe me, I've got all the time in the world for this. I don't have anything more to say until I've talked to my lawyer. No problem. She waited while Peabody brought in a cup of water. His hand shook as he drank. Eve stepped over to Peabody, spoke quietly. Get a uniform to sit on him in case he has one of those fits again. Let's find out what's holding up the lawyer. We've got him on the ropes. We need to finish him off. I want to check something. Dallas exiting interview, she said for the record. Back in her office, she tried Felicity's link. Her stomach clutched when an older woman answered. Yes? This is Lieutenant Dallas, NYPSD. I need to speak with Felicity Prinz. This is her mother. She's not talking to you. You're that friend of that Copley person. The muscles in Eve's stomach loosened again at the use of present tense. No, ma'am. I am not his friend. I have Copley in custody.
For what?
For murder.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God, my little girl!
Has she been harmed, ma'am?
No, no, not that way. But he hurt my little girl's heart and soul. He killed his poor wife, didn't he?
Not for lack of trying, Eve thought. Ma'am, I need to speak with your daughter. You're welcome to stay with her while I do.
You can be sure I will. Chantal, get your sister right now.
She came home, the woman said to Eve. So I'm grateful for that. She came home because she found out he'd been lying to her and using her. And I've been holding her link because he kept trying to reach her. Felicity, it's that policewoman you told us about. She arrested that awful man.
Arrested? Mom, let me have the link. Hello, hello. I forgot your name.
It's Dallas, Lieutenant Dallas. Felicity, did you see or speak to J.J. Copley after we spoke?
I wouldn't. I got thinking when you left. I'm not as stupid as people think.
Nobody thinks you're stupid, her mother said.
He did. He thought I was stupid, and I was. But I started thinking, and I tagged up Sadie, and we talked.
That's good.
And after I talked with Sadie, I did what he told me not to. I called his house. I got the housekeeper thing, and she said how she'd take a message because he wasn't able to come to the link. So I said, oh, he's out of town. And the housekeeper thing said no, he was in residence. That's how she said it. But unable to come to the link, and she'd take the message. I just said never mind because I got upset. He lied to me. Did you know he lied to me?
Yes, I'm sorry, Felicity. I knew he lied to you.
It's why you said I should talk to Sadie. And she said how I needed to find out for sure, so I did. I even went over there, to his house, and I watched, and I saw him. I saw him and his wife come out together and get in the car, and he wasn't on a trip. They were laughing. She wasn't being mean to him. He kissed her before they got in the car, and I knew it was all a lie. I came home. Am I in trouble?
Why would you be in trouble?
I took some of the clothes he bought me, and I used the credit card he got me to pay for the trip home. I didn't have enough since I stopped working. I'll pay it back.
Did he give you the clothes?
Yeah, but
did he give you the card to use?
He did.
Then you're not in trouble.
I left him a memo cube. I said how I was leaving, and I wouldn't have anything to do with somebody who lied and cheated like that, and made me a liar and a cheater, too. I'm not coming back, I don't think. I think I don't belong in New York. Did he do something really bad? Worse than lying and cheating?
It looks that way.
He was so nice to me, so I loved him. But it wasn't real.
I may need to talk to you again, but I'm glad you went home. I'm glad you're with your family.
Me too. Merry Christmas, Dallas.
Same to you. Eve clicked off, sat back, sorted through. Lawyers here, Peabody said from the doorway. We'll give them some time, then start again. Chapter 22. Eve gave them an hour, taking the time to fine-tune her approach, then walked through the bullpen to get Peabody. She saw Jenkinson had taken her at her word. A banner hung over the break room door, facing out so any who came in would see the sentiment, "No matter your race, creed, sexual orientation, or political affiliation, we protect and serve, because you could get dead." Obviously, there'd been some discussion, some teamwork on the wording, but Jenkinson's original sentiment remained. Her first reaction wasn't the amusement she'd expected, but a tug of pride, because it was the righteous truth. She took a quick scan of the men and women who served under her. Trueheart in his pristine uniform, earnestly working on his comp. Baxter, kicked back, designer shoes propped on his desk, talking on his desk link. Jenkinson scowling at his screen as he chowed down on some questionable sandwich from vending. The room smelled of truly terrible coffee, someone's greasy lunch, the fake pine someone had sprayed on the silly tree. It smelled like cops at Christmas, she thought. Peabody, let's lock this up. The rest of you? That, she pointed toward the banner, that stays up. Anybody from maintenance or standards or legal tries to take it down, kick them to me. Peabody scurried after Eve. We're really leaving it up? How did we start this investigation? Giving our time and effort to get justice for a worthless asshole. The sign stays. It speaks the truth. She walked into interview, read the necessary data into the record, then sat across from Copley and his lawyer. So, here we are again. And let it hang. McAllister broke the silence. My client is a victim of Trey Ziegler, a blackmailer, an extortionist, a man who, through evidence you yourself discovered, used illegal date rape substances on a number of women. I'll give you Ziegler was a lousy human being. It's still illegal to murder a human being, lousy or otherwise. My client didn't murder anyone, and at the established time of death of Trey Ziegler was in his own home. So he says. But he's got no one to back that up, including the wife he recently sent to the hospital. I never touched Natasha. She says different. I don't believe that, Copley continued, even as his lawyer tried to silence him. You're lying. Do you want me to play the 911 call again? JJ. With Barb's in the name, the lawyer clamped a hand over Copley's. Miss Quigley was in fear for her life and called out for her husband. Called out for him to help her. Eve smiled. You can try that one, but you know what the jury's gonna hear. From the recording, from Natasha Quigley's own lips in court. Ms. Quigley suffered a severe head injury during an attack by an unknown assailant, one who very likely killed Ziegler, one who very likely was in league with him. Her recollection and her testimony on the events isn't trustworthy. And this unknown assailant mysteriously went poof. My client believes that Katiana Dubois assaulted his wife and in the struggle fell, was killed. My client believes the deceased was in league with Ziegler. Rage tickled the back of her throat. Eve let it show, let it come. So you want to try to hang Ziegler on her? Let me say this, so you both hear it. Try it. Just try it. Your client's a liar, a cheat, an adulterer, a fraud. Just who do you think a jury's gonna sympathize with? A man who cheats on his wife with a naive young woman he lies to, one he's set up with money he's stolen from his wife? A man who paid a blackmailer to keep that arrangement quiet? Or an innocent woman, one who worked for a living, came from a nice family, had no smears on her record? You leave Felicity out of this, Copley demanded. I talked to her, too, just about an hour ago. Did you get her memo? He lurched up. Eve rose with him. You had no business talking to her. I'm going to explain everything to her. She'll come back to me. I love her. I'm going to marry her. But you couldn't until you got rid of the wife you already have. Killing her clears the way. I don't have to kill her. Why do you think I paid Ziegler to fuck her? JJ, God, shut up. Don't tell me to shut up. Color high, he rounded on McAllister. You useless bitch! Why haven't you gotten me out of here? I told you I wanted Silbert or Crosby. You've got me. Eve sat again, looked at Peabody. Now, this is interesting. Don't you find this interesting, Peabody? I'm riveted. Absolutely riveted. Did he say what I think he said, on record? That he paid Ziegler to sleep with his wife? Peabody glanced at Copley. Did you get to watch? Shut the hell up, you're disgusting. He pays some sleaze to sleep with his wife, and I'm disgusting? Jeez. Okay, if you didn't do it for kinky watching, what did you do it for? For Felicity. She got to watch? More pride swelled in Eve's heart as Copley snarled at Peabody. I want to speak to my client in private. You've had plenty of time for that, Eve said. It sounds to me like JJ has things to say. Do you have things to say, JJ? Damn right, and you shut up, he told the lawyer, who just shook her head and sighed. It was love at first sight with Felicity. I wanted to give her what she needed, fulfill her dreams. So you lied to her. I didn't lie. I just needed time. I intended to divorce Natasha, but without certain stipulations and agreements, the divorce would have left me unable to fulfill Felicity's dreams. You needed your wife's money to fulfill the dreams of the woman you were ditching your wife for. There's no need to be crude. Love is its own reason. Natasha and I had grown apart, and really, spare me all the old chestnuts. They're roasting fresh ones out on the street. You're gonna pay for your disrespect. Name your price. Eve pushed into his face again, because I've got no respect for you. You've got something to say, say it. Clear, on the record. You made a deal with Trey Ziegler. Explain. The look he sent her burned with hate, but he spat out the words. Simply put, I was aware Ziegler had sex with clients. He bragged about it to me, claimed he could get any woman he wanted. Still trying, McAllister chimed in. My client wasn't aware Ziegler used illegal substances on those clients. After an eye flicker that told Eve Copley had known, Copley continued. Of course not. That's deplorable. As far as I knew, all the women were willing. I told him I'd pay him if he could seduce Natasha. She had a choice. Copley jabbed a finger at the table for emphasis. She chose to have sex with him, and more than once. It had to be more than once. There had to be a clear affair in order for me to preserve my financial advantages. Your prenup specified if your wife had a sexual affair, you got a divorce with a fat settlement? It's fair. So you hired Ziegler to draw her into a sexual affair, one I assume you documented. That's right. It's not illegal. On the contrary, Eve thought, but the pimping charges weren't worth mentioning. I only needed them to do it a couple more times. By the first of the year, or right after, I could file. But you suggested a trip with Natasha to shore up your marriage after the first of the year. Okay, I did. He shifted in his chair, leaned forward a bit, as if explaining the perfectly reasonable. It would never have happened, but it was important I came off as trying to fix things up. It's marriage, he said, obviously frustrated. It's personal business, not police business. If you wanted it to stay that way, you shouldn't have killed Ziegler. I didn't! I only needed him to screw her a couple more times. Now he's dead. He couldn't finish the job because she broke it off, or was about to. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But he'd have persuaded her. One way or the other, Eve said. He told me he'd persuade her. Copley looked away. I told him he didn't get the money until he did. Just two more times, and I could take it to my divorce lawyer. When did you tell him? Just last week, when I went to his apartment. Look, fine. I went there. One time. Just that one time, because he dropped it on me at our training session, she'd made noises about working on the marriage, maybe stopping the sex with him the day before. And she was talking to me about fixing things, getting teary, getting flirty. I just needed a couple more times to seal the deal. He couldn't do it, but he still wanted money. If you didn't pay it, he'd go to your wife, confess, and you'd lose. He'd tell her about Felicity, and you'd lose. The prick was hitting you from every angle. It was never gonna stop, so you stopped it. I didn't kill him! I wasn't there! The same way you were upstairs when Katiana was killed, when your wife was attacked? What had Katiana figured out? What did she know? She'd tell Natasha, and you'd lose again. She had to be stopped. You stopped her. But your wife walks in, and that's not just losing your financial advantage. That's losing everything. She had to be stopped. He used me. They all used me. I'm the victim here. I'm the goddamn victim. I didn't do anything. I wasn't there. I want to talk to Natasha. I want to talk to Felicity. They're done with you. What you've got now is me. So let's start again. He fumbled and stumbled, raged a time or two. He pleaded and he insulted, but he didn't budge. Eve decided spending Christmas in a cage might add the final incentive. She sent him off, raging. He's talked himself into it, Peabody commented. Didn't Mira say something like that? How he could make himself believe the lie so it's his truth?
Something like that. It may be harder for him to believe after another couple days behind bars. He keeps tripping up over things, going to Ziegler's apartment, paying Ziegler to nail his wife. We'll keep piling up the stumbles until he falls flat. There's more than enough to go to trial. Without a confession, the PA is going to offer a deal. It's not enough. Maybe I could swallow it on Ziegler, but not on Katiana. We'll hit him again after Christmas. Go grab McNabb's skinny ass, catch your shuttle, see your family.
Really? We have to write up the...
I've got it.
You always say that.
I say it because I'm the boss. Get the hell out of here.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, Dallas. Don't hit me.
Peabody flung her arms around Eve, squeezed.
I hope you like your gift half as much as I love my coat.
She dashed off, presumably to get said coat. In her office, Eve wrote up the report, copied it to Rio, the commander, Mira, Peabody. She could work on the twists and turns of it, she thought. Maybe straighten some of them out. Talk to Quigley one more time. Then she thought, the hell with it. She was going home. Maybe it dogged her on the drive, the insane drive full of rain and revelers. It dogged her enough for her to use her in-dash comp to ramble some thoughts and speculations into it to sort through later. But when she walked in the house, she ordered herself to leave it outside. It wasn't hard, not when she walked into warmth, light, laughter, even if some of the laughter was Somerset's. They were in the parlor, Rourke sprawled in a chair, a glass of wine in his hand. Somerset sat with perfect posture across from him. She didn't think Somerset could sprawl due to the stick up his ass. Then she reminded herself it was Christmas and time for a moratorium on insults. "What's the joke?" she asked.
Rourke smiled. "Just a little stroll down memory lane."
"How many pockets picked on the stroll? Who's counting?" He rose to kiss her, take her coat, which he tossed onto the arm of a sofa.
"I'll get you some wine."
"I'll take it."
"Party food?"
She studied the tray of fancy finger food, chose one, popped it. She wasn't sure what it was, except good.
"Everything tied up?" Rourke asked when he handed her the wine.
"Tied, but not pulled tight and bowed up. Still, Copley's getting stones in his Christmas stocking."
"That's coal."
"What's coal?"
"Never mind."
Rourke kissed her again, pulled her down into the chair with him. Flustered, Somerset was right there. She started to push up.
"We have lots of chairs. We're economizing."
Rourke held her fast.
"Somerset was telling me about a Christmas during the Urbans when he and some medics fashioned a Christmas tree out of rebar and rags, among other things."
"It was quite festive, considering," Somerset added. "We lit it with mini bat-powered torches, and some enterprising soul stole a case of MREs from the enemy camp, so we had a feast."
"That would be you."
Somerset lifted an eyebrow at Eve.
"Perhaps it was.
Making do can add to the sense of community.
My team hauled in a broken tree, a dented menorah, fake ears of corn."
She sipped her wine. "It cheered the place right up." She relaxed, let the evening wash the day away. Maybe the cop in her couldn't approve of some of the tales they told, or the thievery often involved, but, hell, the statute of limitations made them all just memories.
"I've friends waiting," Somerset said at length, and rose. Eve bit back the automatic retort involving ghouls and corpses and wait time. Moratorium, she reminded herself. Happy Christmas to you both. It's a happier one for me, knowing this is a home fulfilling its promise and purpose. Glad she'd bitten back the barb, Eve cleared her throat. It helps, having someone who knows what he's doing to handle the details. Thank you. An unexpected gift. Good night. Rourke kissed Eve's cheek after Somerset left. Unexpected. Unsweet. I'm not sweet. It's truth. I'm big on truth tonight. Difficult pieces to your day? Yeah, and then some. We're not gonna think about that because, hey, look! There are all these presents under the... Shit! Shit! Now she did push up. I need 20 minutes. All right. Go do something, she suggested, and fled to wrap the gifts she'd neglected to wrap because there was plenty of time. She hauled them down to the parlor, shoved them under the tree, huffed out of breath, stepped back, and nearly yelped as she spotted Rourke lying on one of the sofas reading a book, the cat stretched out beside him. I didn't see you. So I deduced when you reached for your weapon. I didn't draw it. You're reading a book. It's the Yeats you gave me our first Christmas together. I reread it every year at this time. You're such a sap. But she smiled when she said it, because the idea filled her with pleasure. Do you want to see what you got this year? I do. He rose, set the book aside. The cat just turned over, stayed on the sofa. We could leave the gifts from friends for tomorrow, he suggested. Poured them both more wine. For Christmas Day. Works for me. Then we could finish what we started last night. You know, drink a whole bunch of wine, have crazy sex. That would absolutely work for me. Or... He cupped a hand behind her neck, kissed her slow. We could start at the end of that, work back. Crazy sex, lots of wine, gifts. It's a plan, but... She pulled back, grabbed a large, clumsily wrapped box. Open this. I figured it would be the... She threw her hands in the air, made a whooshing sound. What is it? The explosion? No, no. When the guy who... With loosely fisted hands, she waved her arms in the air. And the musicians all... The crescendo? He laughed, sat on the floor with the box. I do adore you. So, in this case, crescendo first. Yeah. I want to see if I hit the mark. It's a crappy rapping job. It's charming. He untied the ribbon, tore the paper. When he opened the box, she gauged surprise, but surprise didn't necessarily mean bullseye. You didn't get yourself a magic coat, she pointed out. I hadn't gotten to it. He drew out the soft black leather, in classic style, and he noted, touched, the buttons held the symbol of Celtic Trinity knots. You amaze me. You can buy your own clothes. You can buy everybody's clothes, but this is... I want you safe, too. Darling Eve. When he leaned over, kissed her, she knew she'd hit the mark. It'll fit, she told him. I went to your guys, the R&D guys on the lining, and that wasn't easy. I think I could get into the White House war room easier. And your tailor. He stood to put it on. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. And on him, the knee-length, supple black leather was ridiculously sexy. There's an add-on.
Hidden interior pockets. I figure a guy like you can find them easy enough. For carrying things, even an expert civilian consultant isn't supposed to carry. Is that so? He did, indeed, find them, grinned like a boy. Double bullseye, Eve thought. On a roll, she started to reach for another gift. No, your turn now. He slipped out of the coat, laid it with hers. We'll just stick with the crescendo theme. He chose a small box. This one. She expected jewelry. He couldn't help himself. So puzzlement came first when she opened it, found a simple business card. Master Wu? I don't get it. You get him. He'll work with you, at his dojo, or here in the one we're having put in beside the gym on the lower level. The what? Dojo? Here? The work starts next week. Master Wu will train you. If and when you're unable to connect in person, we've devised a holographic program. Master Wu will work with me? The Master Wu? She'd met the martial arts legend briefly on a case, had admired him for years. You bought me Master fucking Wu? In a manner of speaking. Holy shit! Holy shit! She jumped up, literally danced around the room, stopping to jab at an imaginary opponent, destroying them with a vicious sidekick. Master Wu! She leaped onto Rourke, bowling him back, kissing him hard when he left, and while the cat ran over to see what the hell was going on. This is the best! This is the most amazing gift ever in the history of gifts! You know I'm going to be able to seriously kick your ass now. We'll see about that. Master Wu! She shoved up, pulled him up with her. You're putting in a dojo! We are. It'll be fun, won't it, for both of us? I'll show you the design, the plans. Ah, no, he murmured, when the insane joy in her eyes clouded with tears. You, she said, and wrapped around him. You know me, and you love me anyway. I'll never get over it. And you. My cop put stash pockets in my magic coat. I couldn't have dreamed you better. She sniffled, eased back, pulled another gift from under the tree. This one. This one needs to come next. I could sit here with you under these happy lights and need nothing else in the world. But since it's here, he added, making her laugh as he opened the gift. She'd framed a photo of them at the preview of the ICOV agenda. Not one of the glitzy red carpet shots, but one taken after she'd squared off with a killer, after he'd bloodied the bastard's face. They stood smiling at each other, his torn knuckles on her bruised cheek. It's us. That's what you said when you saw this. He looked up at her. So it is, and it's going straight onto my desk. Open this. Relieved the emotional jag had passed, she ripped in and found the exact same photo. Different frame, but the same photo. Nothing could have struck her more. Look at us. We know each other and love each other anyway. All glammed up, and your knuckles bleeding, my eye already going purple. To think of all that bullshit prepping for the cameras. The Trina treatment, clothes, hair, face, and I end up with a black eye anyway. You got your man, and it was a hell of an after party. Bagging fry was the best part, but yeah, it was. If parties didn't take so much time and work, they'd... Wait, wait. For what? She helped with the party prep. That's what Tella told me today. Katiana was over there, helped out, got ready for the party there. Katiana!
Rourke dangled a ribbon for Galahad to bat at.
I suspect it's Christmas that'll have to wait.
I need to...
No, it can wait.
She started to reach for another gift, but he took her hand.
We know each other.
She turned her hand under his, gripped tight.
Thank God.
You can wear your new coat. So she ran those twists and turns as he drove, wondered if she indeed smoothed some of them out. It made a convoluted, nasty kind of sense. And considering those involved, it played right through to crescendo. She didn't bother to have Copley brought up, but went down to the bowels of Central, logged in, badged through, and walked up to where Copley paced his cell.
"What do you want? I don't have to talk to you. Fuck you, and you with her," he said to Rourke.
"You can send for the lawyer you don't respect, or you can answer a couple of simple questions. On the night of your holiday party, what time did you see or speak to your wife for the first time?"
"How the hell do I know? I wasn't watching the damn clock."
"Fine." Eve turned away.
"Wait. Why does it matter? I told you when I got home. I told you I went up to dress. Tosh came in later. She was running behind.
What about hair, makeup?"
"So what?
Wait, wait." She had to deal with it herself. She was rushed. Something about a screw-up with catering. She was upset. Said how she'd had to put out a dozen fires. I know she'd been running around dealing with things, because Tella's girl called up, caught me just after I got out of the shower looking for her.
Why not tag Natasha directly?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I had a party to get ready for. I don't get into the domestic stuff. Tosh deals with that. She deals with the staff.
How long did it take you to get ready?
Jesus Christ, I don't know. I take my time. Maybe 90 minutes?
So Katiana was looking for your wife about 6:30?
Sometime around 6:30.
About that?
So what? The girls should have been able to handle whatever the problem was instead of bothering us. But I didn't kill her for it.
You're a complete dick, JJ,
Eve commented, and walked away with him shouting after her.
He is indeed a complete dick, Rourke agreed.
Yeah, but he's not a murderer. Epilogue. A skeleton crew manned the hospital. That meant Eve had to go through more hoops for admittance to the surgical wing, but she found herself tolerant. When she stepped into Natasha's room with Rourke, she noted they'd brought in a tree, gifts, strung some lights. Natasha sat up in bed, flanked by her sister and brother-in-law. She looked more alert, and had added lip dye, other enhancements. She wore a lacy robe over a silky gown.
"Lieutenant!"
Martella came over to greet her.
"Rourke! Oh, you work too hard to still be at it on Christmas Eve. Please, have some champagne. The doctor said Tosh could have a half glass. She's doing so much better already."
"So I see. You look better, Ms. Quigley."
"I feel more myself. A little weak and shaky, but much better. Tella and Lance brought me Christmas."
"Nice. We'll have to skip the champagne, but this won't take long. I wanted to check in on you and give you some updates."
"So kind.
I'm going to have just a couple questions to tie it all up. I'll keep it simple."
"Of course. If you're sure it can't wait."
"When we're this close to wrapping things up, we don't want any loose threads."
"You know what happened?"
"I do."
"Mind?"
Eve asked, as she eased down at the foot of the bed.
"Of course not.
I'm so grateful for your dedication. Just doing my job. And doing it, I should remind you that you can have a legal rep present. I read you your rights the other day, but I can refresh you if you need it. So formal. No need for that. Of course I remember. I don't want a lawyer. She actually patted Eve's hand. Ask your questions so you can go home and enjoy your own Christmas. Thanks. I did speak with your doctor before I came. She's very pleased with your progress and expects you to make a full recovery and hopes you can be released in just a few days. It feels like a miracle. I'm sure it does. I regret to inform you we have your husband in custody. He's been charged with Trey Ziegler's murder, with Katiana Dubois's murder, and with the attack on you. Oh, God. You have to be strong, Tosh. Martella gripped her sister's hand as she turned to Eve. Lance and I have talked about this. We went over and over it because it just doesn't seem possible, but it is. It's the only possibility. He must have lost his mind. He's a difficult man. I understand your loyalty, Ms. Quigley. Natasha, Eve said, and gently. But it's time for the truth. He's my husband. How do I accept all this? How do I accept my husband is a murderer? It's hard. It has to be really hard. But we've been able to put it all together. The events, the timelines, all of it. JJ, Natasha choked it out. I tried to tell myself I was confused. It couldn't have been. But why? Why? Why would he hurt Katiana? Why would he hurt me? Why would he kill Trey? Tella's right. He lost his mind. I should have seen it. I should have gotten him help before it was too late. Martella slid onto the bed, drew her sister close. Don't blame yourself, Tosh. Don't! I don't understand it. I don't understand any of it. He knew about you and Ziegler, Eve told her. Oh, God! God! I knew he'd be angry if he found out, but
he didn't find out, Eve corrected. He arranged it.
What? He paid Ziegler to sleep with you. He...
The tears in Natasha's eyes dried to hard embers.
What are you saying?
I'm saying he paid Trey Ziegler to initiate an affair with you, which, with Ziegler's help, he documented in order to retain a generous financial settlement when he filed for divorce.
Oh, Tosh!
Tella leaned in to offer more comfort. Natasha pushed her aside.
He's lying. JJ must be lying.
We have Ziegler's records corroborating the transactions. It was just another job for him. Really lucrative, since both you and your husband were, essentially, paying him for the same service. Just another way to cash in. You didn't mean anything to him other than another body, another mark.
That's not true! That's absolutely not true!
The flash in her eyes told Eve what she needed to know. He used you. Ziegler used you, and he and your husband laughed about it behind your back.
No! Trey cared about me!
He cared about the money you gave him, the money he got from your husband. He double-dipped, and it ended up killing him.
We had a relationship! Do you understand me?
I'm not sure I do.
Tosh, don't upset yourself. The man was a bastard. He took advantage of you.
Of you? Quigley tossed back at Martella. Not of me. No one takes advantage of me.
It's hard to take. Eve patted Natasha's leg. Really hard for a smart, strong-willed woman to take when she's been duped.
Everything he said to you was a lie, and one your husband paid for. Worse, paid for with your money.
I know it's rough. It was bad enough when you found out Ziegler was seeing that idiot Alla Coburn again. Bad enough when he lied to you about her, about others.
He made you feel special, excited, Eve continued.
When you snuck out to see him that day, the day of your party, you just wanted to see him before he left for the seminar. But you saw he'd been with someone else. The cheap bra, the slutty shoes, right there, in your face.
What are you talking about? Martella demanded.
Eve ignored her. He brushed it off. He had a way, didn't he? She didn't mean anything to him, just sex. Did he laugh at you when you told him you wouldn't tolerate it? Did he sneer when you said you loved him, wanted him to only be with you? Was he laughing when you picked up the trophy and swung it at his head?
You can't talk to her that way. Martella tugged on Eve's arm. She's hurt. She's been victimized. Lance, make her stop.
Wait. He stared at Eve, shifted his gaze slowly to Natasha's face. Just wait.
I don't want to talk to you.
Natasha plucked at the sheets, blinked tears into her eyes.
You're saying horrible things.
You stuck the knife into his heart because he'd stuck one into yours. It was all lies, Natasha. Yours, your husband's, Ziegler's. Everything you did, lies. You thought you'd gotten off clear. You told yourself you did what you had to do, and that was that. But the time it took, that tripped you up. You had to cancel your hair and face techs. I've checked with them, too.
I was busy preparing for the party.
You weren't home at the time Ziegler died. Katiana looked for you. Couldn't find you.
I was home. Of course I was home. Dozens of people saw me.
And when I interview them, each and every one, none of them will be able to verify you were there between 6 and 7 that evening because you were rushing over to Ziegler's apartment, killing him and rushing back again.
I was home, Natasha said coldly. You'll never prove otherwise.
Sure we will. And yesterday, Katiana realized it. Talking with your sister, she started putting it together. Started wondering why she couldn't find you in the house, why you'd canceled your hair and face time. 6 to 7:30, according to your hair and skin techs. But she was loyal, Natasha. She didn't run to me, to the police. She went to you. She went hoping you'd explain, but you couldn't explain.
Tella, please, call the nurse. My head hurts.
Tosh. Slowly, Martella eased back from the bed.
Oh, my God, Tosh. It can't be true. Not Kate. You couldn't.
But she did. She had to protect herself. Maybe you offered her money. She'd be shocked, insulted. You couldn't trust her to keep her mouth shut, so you argued, you threatened, you shoved her. Did you mean to kill her, or was it just a happy accident? Natasha shook her head, looked pleadingly at her sister.
I didn't. I couldn't. Believe me.
I think it was violent impulse, Eve continued, like Ziegler. And like Ziegler, you couldn't leave it at that. After you turned her over, made sure she was dead, you knew just how to use it all to your advantage. You could get rid of JJ, have him locked away like he deserved for cheating on you with that little stripper with the big tits. It would take some guts, but you've got them. So you made the 911 call. You could claim you blocked video in your rush, your shock. You faked an attack using your husband's name. Then you dropped the phone, crushed it. You got your guts up, picked up that vase. You screamed, alerting JJ, boosting your adrenaline. Then you struck yourself as hard as you could manage. Harder than you should have. It nearly killed you. You nearly died for pride and ego and payback to a cheating spouse. Was it worth it?
Every bit.
When Martella began to weep, Rourke put an arm around her, looked at Lance. You should take her out. She shouldn't be here now. Come on, darling. Come on now. Go on! You always were the weak one, Natasha called after her. Go crying to Daddy like you used to. Martella stopped, looked back. You're my sister. She straightened her shoulders, lifted her chin. But she was my best friend. Kate! I'll never forgive you for Kate. And she walked away. Staff. Natasha leaned back. Anyone who makes friends or family out of paid staff is a fool. She looked at Eve. I was under duress. My husband's petty cruelties and neglect. A lover flaunting his flings. I had a breakdown. You can play that tune. A breakdown. What happened with Trey that day? It's as if someone else was inside my body. I couldn't control myself. Katiana? She slipped. We were talking. I was upset, of course, but she slipped, fell. I was in shock. Again, out of my mind. No one in their right mind would strike themselves that way. You're going to learn the difference between legally sane and just being a cold, vicious, selfish bitch. I'm in the hospital. I nearly died. I have a great deal of money to pay hard-hitting lawyers. No one mourns for Trey but me. And Katiana? She slipped. You're a good liar. But with the evidence I'm gonna have stacked up against you, even your lies will sink. Natasha Quigley, you're under arrest for the murder of Trey Ziegler, for the murder of Katiana Dubois, human beings. Additional charges will include but not be limited to obstruction of justice, lying to a police officer during an investigation. You will be held here, under guard, until such time as you can safely be transported to prison to await trial. I'll get out on bail. I wouldn't bet on it. Eve took out her restraints, stepped forward. Stay away from me! You can't use those on me! Wouldn't bet on that, either. Eve grabbed one of her wrists, managed to block the swipe of nails forearm to forearm. Add resisting arrest to the aforesaid charges. She let the slap come, though the woman had some punch to her. And a little icing for me with assaulting a police officer, which allows me to... She took out a second pair of restraints, cuffed Quigley's other wrist. I'll have your badge for this! What you'll have is a crappy life in a cage. Your cheating putz of a husband is probably gonna get a nice chunk of your money after all. Your name and face are gonna be splashed all over the media, and the only social club you'll belong to is Big Nelly's bitch-slapping circle. You'll be the mascot. Merry Christmas. Big Nelly? Rourke asked as they walked out. First thing that came to mind. Officer? She signaled the uniform she'd ordered for the duty. Sit on her. I've got you on 4-hour rotations, so you won't miss Christmas altogether. I'm Jewish, sir. Okay. Happy Hanukkah. She spoke to the head nurse on duty, relayed the status to Dr. Campo via link. Her sister's going to suffer. She's married to a steady guy, a frickin' rock, but yeah, she'll suffer. Murder doesn't stop at the Vic, not most of the time. She set him up good, and he was such an asshole it played. Little niggles here and there, but it played. They're so much alike, Copley, Quigley. He could have done it, for all the same reasons, except he doesn't have the balls to damn near kill himself to get away with it. You closed it. You got both your victims justice. Messy, but closed. Now I have to go spring Copley, that asshole. You could do it in the morning. Let him rot just a bit. I could, but I won't. It's what makes you not a bit like either of them. It's a pisser right at the moment. It's gonna take me a while. She looked up at him as they stepped out of the elevator. Couple hours to deal with the paperwork, the lawyers. Screws up our Christmas Eve. We've already had the crescendo. The rest can wait. Yeah. They stepped out into the night. The cold rain had stopped. She thought she caught the glimmer of a couple stars. She took his hand, gave his arm a swing. Nice coat, she said, made him laugh. She'd do her duty, do her job. Then she and the man who knew her and loved her anyway would go home for Christmas. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Festive in Death by J.D. Robb. Copyright 2014 by Nora Roberts. Performed by Susan Erickson. Directed by Kevin Klempel. Performance copyright 2014 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number: 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.